Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk about a question that every leader should ask. Andy, one of the ideas that we often discuss on the podcast is just the power of a good question. Today, we're going to unpack a great one, but before we get to that, give our listeners an idea of why questions are so valuable.
Those of us who've been around leaders we admire pick up pretty quickly that great leaders ask questions. In fact, great leaders ask great questions. There have been two or three occasions where I've been with men and women that I, you know, respect in terms of what they've accomplished as leaders. And I've noticed that I find myself doing too much of the talking. And I'm thinking, why am I talking? I want them to talk. But the reason I talk and the reason other people around them talk is they are relentless in the questions they ask. Mm-hmm. They ask personal questions. They ask organizational questions. I've been with men and women who lead far larger organizations than I'll ever lead. And they ask me questions about our organization. And mm-hmm. I think, why do you care? What could you possibly learn from what I'm doing? But great leaders ask great questions.
Andy, I've heard you say that great questions really accomplish three things. What are those?
Yeah, great questions, they do at least three things. Questions reveal values, questions reinforce values, and ultimately, questions reinforce behavior. So let me unpack each one of those for just a second. So when I say that questions reveal our values, when you think about the questions that you ask over and over and over, essentially what you're saying is, this is what's important, this is what's important, this is what's important. For example, if we tell our kids, you know, you really should just do your best, do your best, do your best. But we always ask, what did you make? What did you make? What did you make? It doesn't matter that we've said to our kids, hey, you need to do your best. Our question says, what's most important to me, what I value most is your grades. So one of the things every leader should do is think about the questions they naturally ask, because those questions are communicating what's most important to you, whether or not that really should be what's most important to you. At the same time, if you want to know what's most important to you, listen to the questions that you ask, because questions reveal values. So our questions reveal something to us about us, but we can turn that around and use questions to communicate to the people around us what we think they should think is most important organizationally.
Andy, you've said that questions do three things. First of all, they reveal values. Secondly, they reinforce values. And it reminds me that years ago, you began asking us a question at the beginning of our leadership team that you ask to this day.
Yeah, I open up every meeting. In fact, not just our leadership team meeting, any meeting where there's few enough people to have a conversation, I open up with the question, what happened this weekend? What happened this weekend? Because in our industry or in our business, we are about things happening in people and happening for people and happening to people. So if there's not something happening in the lives of people, regardless of what the spreadsheet tells us, we're failing. So this is my way of reinforcing, using a question to reinforce the most important thing in our organization, which is the value of changed life. So what happened this weekend? Then we spend a few minutes telling stories, because stories and questions are the best two ways to reinforce values. Stories, what happened, and questions are the best ways to reinforce values. So again, questions reinforce organizational values.
And the third thing that you've told us that questions do is that questions reinforce behaviors.
Yeah, every parent understands this. Did you clean your room? Did you clean your room? Did you clean your room? You know, eventually our kids understand, you know what? My parents want me to clean my room. They're reinforcing not only a value of cleanliness, they're actually reinforcing a specific behavior. Did you clean your room? So again, as we think about the questions that we ask over and over and over, those questions, especially the ones we repeat, should be associated with the behaviors we want to see repeated within the organization. So we did this in a really strategic way. Like most organizations, we have organizational values. We have a set. In fact, we've spent a couple of podcasts talking about this, our organizational behaviors. Remember that? And so what we did, once we came up with our six organizational behaviors, and again, for those of you who haven't heard those two podcasts, these are six behaviors that we believe that if all of our employees did these consistently, we will continue to be successful. But along with our organizational behaviors, we added a question to each one of those that brings life to it. So for example, one of our organizational behaviors is make it better. We want everybody to make it better. We want everybody to make it better. And that, you know, that looks great on the wall or on a card or, you know, make it better. Let's make it better. But what brings energy to that value of make it better is the question that we associated with it. And the question is, what am I doing personally to help us improve organizationally? What am I doing personally to help us improve organizationally? That question reinforces not only a value, that question incites behavior. What am I doing personally to help us improve organizationally? Make it better, you know, it's a little bit static,
right?
But what am I doing personally to help us improve organizationally? Again, that brings life to it. So as you think about your organizational values, taking time to craft a question to associate with that value will reinforce not only the value, but the behavior associated with that specific value.
Well, Andy, let's move to this great question that you recently challenged our staff with. And it's actually a question you first heard from one of your mentors.
Yeah. One of the men that I just appreciate so much is Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels is a pastor in Chicago, built one of the greatest churches in America. And whenever I'm with Bill, I try to ask the questions if I can stop him from asking questions, because leaders ask questions. So one night we were having dinner. And I said, Bill, let's talk about decision making. What is the grid that you use for making decisions? And immediately, he said, I asked the question, what would a great leader do? What would a great leader do? And I don't remember anything else he said. That really, it just stopped me in my tracks. I thought, what a fantastic question that is. What would a great leader do? Whenever you're making a decision, you know, and there's all the details, there's all the opinions, and everybody thinks they know, to stop and ask, okay, what would a great leader do? That is a powerful, powerful question. And the great thing about that great question is none of us consider ourselves to be great leaders. And in fact, none of us are really confident that we would actually always do what a great leader would do. But we owe it to ourselves to at least pause and ask the question, because in most cases, I believe, when we stop and ask, what would a great leader do, we will know the answer pretty quickly. And then we're challenged with a very important challenge for all of us. Hey, are you willing to step up and do what a great leader would do? Because in order to be a great leader, you have to do what a great leader would do. So as we're going to talk about in the next few minutes, this is a powerful, powerful question, because I think it raises the bar for all of us as leaders, and I think helps set us up to be our best as leaders.
Andy, when you unpacked this for our staff, you said this question accomplishes four things. I'd like to dig into those with you. The first one was, it raises the standard of your leadership above the circumstances of your leadership.
Yes, this question raises the standard of our leadership above the circumstances of our leadership. Here's what I mean by that. We tend to react what is in front of us. We tend to react to what's immediate. You know, somebody needs an answer now. Here are the options. And there are no emotionally neutral leadership decision-making environments. There are always emotions involved. So consequently, whether it's fear or insecurity, I mean, there are just all kinds of emotions associated with leadership, especially when it comes to making decisions. But when in the midst of all of that, we're able to pause and say, wait a minute, what would a great leader do? This question lifts us out of the immediate. It lifts us into the larger context. And I think it brings objectivity and a sense of inspiration to every single decision that we make. So again, it lifts us out of the immediate circumstances and gives us, I think, a broader view of what could be and should be for us, for our organization, and especially in light of the decision we're making.
And Andy, isn't it because of the emotion of the circumstances that a lot of leaders get defensive?
Yeah, and when we get defensive, several things happen. We quit learning, and now we're off balance, and we're going to make a decision that's off balance. And all of us look back on some of the decisions we've made, and we think, what was I thinking? Well, it really wasn't what were you thinking, it's what were you feeling. So again, if in the midst, especially a very emotional decision-making environments, if in the midst of here comes all the information, everybody's looking to you, and you know, if you can pause just internally and ask yourself, not out loud, but internally, okay, what would a great leader do? It just lifts us, again, out of the immediacy of the circumstance into a broader context, and consequently, we make better decisions. Hopefully, we make great decisions.
The second thing you said is this question reveals motive.
Yes, this is why we don't want to ask this question. Now, here's something we all learn eventually. Eventually, corporate mission and vision, eventually conflict with personal ambition. Somewhere along the way, there's going to be a conflict between the mission and vision of the organization I've been asked to lead and my personal ambition. And leaders are great at camouflaging personal agendas, you know, personal ambition with the language of organizational mission and vision. It happens all the time. Now, the great leaders around us sniff this out because we, in fact, many of our podcast listeners right now are thinking, oh, yeah, I've seen that. She stood up and she was talking all about how it was going to benefit the organization, and we're thinking, no, it's going to benefit you. I mean, we see this. So what this question does, this question forces me to face the reality of, you know what? There's a conflict between what's best for the organization and what's best for me. Which way am I going to go on this decision? What would a great leader do? Because at the end of the day, great leaders always sacrifice themselves for the sake of something bigger and better and more important. In some cases, it's family, but in some cases, it's the organization. So again, as we're moving forward, making a decision, and hey, I feel this conflict. If we go left, it benefits me. If we go right, you know, it's really better for the organization. What would a great leader do? And immediately, it unveils my motive.
Andy, the third benefit that you gave us for asking what would a great leader do is that it reveals weakness.
Asking this question always reveals weakness. For example, if you are a conflict avoider, you know, you're one of those leaders, you just can't stand conflict. As you find yourself pushing back, you know, you're thinking, okay, they want me to go in and address this. I don't want to go in and address this. So-and-so wants to have an appointment with me. I already know what they're going to say. And suddenly you find yourself looking for excuses to avoid conflict. Mm. And then you pause and ask yourself the question, but what would a great leader do? Great leaders don't avoid conflict. Mm. So suddenly this question reveals a weakness. On the other hand, if you're a leader that loves to power up around decision making or powers up around conflict, you're a leader who really enjoys those meetings where there's going to be conflict because you're going to win, you know? You're already having that imaginary conversation in your mind of how the whole meeting's going to go and how you're going to convince everybody. And then in the midst of that, you stop and say, but wait, what would a great leader do? Does a great leader power up? Does a great leader leverage their position to get things done? Or does a great leader leverage their leadership to get things done? Mm. Does a great leader have to have their way, or does a great leader listen? So again, what this does, it reveals our weakness, because all of us have strength as leaders. All of us have weaknesses. But when you stop and ask this question, what would a great leader do? Suddenly, I'm forced to face the thing about my leadership that needs to change, and ultimately the thing about my leadership that holds me back. That's why this is such a powerful and helpful question.
And finally, you said this question will inspire you to reach beyond the limits of your personality and style.
Yeah, haven't we all said, well, that's just not me? Mm. You know, somebody says, well, maybe you should think about, well, that's just not me. That's just not the way I am. Whenever you hear yourself thinking that, whenever you hear yourself say that as a leader, that's when you stop and say, okay, that may not be me. That may not be my style. That may not be my comfort zone. That's really what we're saying. That's outside my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And then you stop and say, yeah, but what would a great leader do? Leadership often demands that we reach beyond what comes naturally to us. Leadership often demands that we reach beyond what's comfortable. So oftentimes, not every day, not all the time, but every once in a while, leadership requires me to do things that I would not normally do. And so when I stop and say, yeah, but Andy, what would a great leader do? Well, a great leader would just face their insecurities, step outside their comfort zone, and do what this situation requires. So again, it reveals weakness. It keeps us from hiding behind our personality and sometimes even behind our leadership style, because there are situations where we have to abandon what we normally do, how we normally operate as a leader, step outside our comfort zone, and just do what a great leader would do. I guess one way to summarize all of that is that this question, what would a great leader do? This question will give you a glimpse of what could be and what should be for you as a leader. Mm. Because again, it raises the bar, it raises the standard, and it's not like doing a 360 where somebody else is kind of picking on you. Mm. This is an internal, personal way to get a picture of what could be and should be for you as a leader. That's why I think it's just a fantastic question. What would a great leader do?
Andy, as we wrap up the podcast, any final thoughts?
I would just add this, Lane. I think we should ask this question whether we intend to follow through or not, because some of our listeners are like, gosh, if I ask that, I'm afraid to ask that question. I certainly hope the people around me aren't asking that question about me. I think we owe it to ourselves to know what somebody in our circumstances would do if they really were a great leader. And ultimately, I think we owe it to the people we lead. But there's a bonus to this question. We should ask this question in any environment where we leverage authority. Imagine what would happen in our homes if every husband asked this question. What would a great husband do? Not what, you know, what does my wife deserve, or, you know, how should I, but what would a great husband do? What would a great father do? What would a great wife do? What would a great mother do? Again, this question is so powerful because it raises the bar, but ultimately it gives us a glimpse of what could be and should be, not only in our leadership, but in every aspect of our lives.
Andy, thanks so much for your time today. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us as well. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.